Good morning. Welcome to the Atypical Dad podcast. It's early. I don't want to be. It's actually not that early. It's 6:30. excuse me, but I've been up since about 6:15. Last night I was just done. Just had one of those days of work and just grinding, staring 9 hours at a computer, slapping a keyboard. Certainly not the most physically demanding thing, and quite frankly, it's the opposite. I feel like a vegetable after days like that. But from a mental standpoint, it just mentally burnt me out. Being hyper focused and laser focused on tasks like that is really just mentally exhausting, which is one of the reasons why, I potentially have been in the mood for a career change for probably a couple of years now. I just haven't found the right fit, so got to keep on keeping on. But I thought today would be the first episode of what I guess I'll title "Records That My Kid Picked Out" or "Kids Picked Out" or whatever the hell. I could get out without stumbling around. But anyway, long story short, my kids, I've got a pair of young twins. They're 3 years old. And, they come into my office to visit when I'm working, and they pick a record out, and then I pull it aside, and then I bring it in the house later, and we listen to it together. Sometimes one picks one, sometimes they both pick one, and occasionally they come in here and nobody picks a record. So they just kind of, I got to kind of guide them and stop them from picking from the same one or two cubes all the time, because they always pick what's right in front of them. And I say, pick from that cube. And they go in and grab a random record. And then before they take a, after I take my shower for the night and before they take a tub, it's kind of a routine that, I plop one of them on. And, they used to listen to it a lot more than they do, but I think they just enjoy the novelty of it. So they kind of wrestle around on the bed. We wrestle around on the bed and play. And then usually they just kind of, jam around and do their own thing. After dinner's a pretty free time for them. They just kind of run around and play quite a bit, but they do enjoy the process of picking the record, and then watching me set it up and put it on. And occasionally if they really seem to like the vocals, which it seems like the harsher the vocals, the more they enjoy it. They both kind of gather around and laugh when the growls come in. But anyway, so this week, as I'd said, I'll put, links to all of these releases. I'll try to do Bandcamp to throw them some support, both the bands and, you can look at stuff that they sell directly. But if that's not available, if it's a small band, whether they're or an older release where there is no, actually small bands excel on Bandcamp. Maybe it's better when if it's a larger band, it's not on Bandcamp, or if it's an older band, they might not have, obviously released that, for Bandcamp. So, there'll be links in the comments, at least on Anchor. I don't know how this does carrying across to other platforms. I'm still obviously very new to this. Both you can tell that because my equipment isn't that good and the podcast itself isn't that good. But anyhow, the first record that we got today is Ohm Variations on a Theme. Nope, excuse me, Ohm Conference of the Birds. I don't know why I always get that one confused. It's got birds right on it. But this has got actually what is, I would say, my second favorite song, being Flight of the Eagle. But, State of Non-Return usually takes the top space. But, Flight of the Eagle just is much longer. I think it's much more dynamic. And it's just got this droning riff, which is kind of a theme throughout Ohm, and also obviously throughout, Al's other projects. Where those kind of droning riffs, there's just something about the way that he plays his bass that just sounds incredible. So this is, you got two songs here. One's 15 minutes, and the other one's about 17 and a half. But look, so this one's released on Outer Battery Records, I believe. And, some of the Ohm records are still fairly cheap to find. And I suggest you go out. If you like anything relatively stoner doom like, you might like Ohm. It's not the same, though. It's not stoner doom. It's really tough to classify. They bring in a lot of like medieval instrument, not medieval, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking tired, non-traditional, like Middle Eastern instrumentation. There seems to be a lot of that influence on the sound. And some chant-like vocals, and they even have, I think, on the intro to Advaitic songs, the first song, they just have a female vocalist. I believe it's singing in Hindi. So there's definitely some more dynamic influences than you'd normally find in the stoner doom genre. So that's Ohm Conference of the Birds. The next one was Clouds Taste Satanic. I was actually glad they picked that one up because that's one of the newer records that I've been fascinated with since I got it about a month ago. I think, you know, sometimes you get a handful of records. You don't always have the time to dive into as many of them as you want, or spend as much time with them as you want, I should say. You get to check them all out. Maybe you listen to them once or twice, but if there's one or two that really stand out from a pile of five or six, you tend to spend more time with them. And this is honestly, this is one of them that's went in the positive way for them. I've spent a little bit more time with this, and this one's made, I've taken this in the house and listened to it on my own. It's got multiple spins out in the office. It's just such an amazingly different release. It's all instrumental. You can call it, again, you can call it, you know, stoner doom, but there's a lot of heavy psych, which, you know, seems to bleed into this. And I'm still learning about, you know, a lot about heavy psych. I don't know, you know, kind of, it's kind of like someone, I had read a post on Reddit this morning, and it said something along the lines of, you know, where does the line of sludge end and death doom begin? And it's, you know, it's always so tough to generalize bands without sounding like you're hyper focused and adding 20 adjectives before what their actual genre is. But this one does also. I'll give you an example. There's a song called "Is It Treachery or Treacherous?" I'm gonna be second screen over here. Yeah, it's Treachery, not Treacherous. Now, this song is what is it? 18 minutes long, and it goes through so many parts. But there's a part in this song, and again, this is all instrumental. There are no vocals. Where all of a sudden they're just like, you know, I think it's about maybe 12, 14 minutes into the song. It just goes into what I would say is some really, really amazing funeral doom. It just gets slow for a couple of minutes, menacing, lurching, heavy, but also ominous. And then after that, it just kind of kicks into what I would describe as something that, you know, ZZ Top would absolutely love. These guys just start jamming out, and it just goes in a totally different direction, and it's all cohesive. You know, I never thought I would be able to sit for a long song. I mean, there was a time where 6 minutes was like, ew, well, that's a long song. I don't know what triggered that change, but, you know, easing into the post-metal genre years ago certainly helped, because they start to you know, expand those boundaries. I think one of the bands that I caught on to a little bit early, I didn't really stick with them much, was Transmission O, I think was how you pronounce it, because they were like, hey, we're post-metal, but we write regular length songs, like, you know, 4 minutes. So I kind of gravitated towards them, but then eventually I kind of got over that. But there was a band called Everything Went Black. Cycles of Light is one of their releases, and they're actually a really good, what I consider, post-metal band that has traditional song structures, a little bit of hardcore influence there as well. So you got a bonus one, Everything Went Black. The next one up is Judiciary Surface Noise. This banger of hardcore goodness was released on Closed Casket Activities, and some of the best hardcore that I've heard. So I had a little bit of a resurgence in hardcore. I'd been listening to a lot of other genres of metal, and I always still dabble and go back and forth and check out some hardcore here and there, but I'd say I probably bought 3 hardcore records over the last year up until recently, and by recently I probably mean, you know, this in the spring. But you know, a friend turned me on to Knocked Loose, and normally I would have probably heard of that band, but I wasn't really rolling in the hardcore circles, and that was like an instant, oh boy, yeah, there's a lot of good hardcore music being made. So Judiciary was the next purchase that I made, and I've continued down that where I'm really enjoying bands like Boundaries, Vane, and then Year of the Knife just came on my radar, so I got a couple of records from them on order. So I'm really enjoying, you know, my roots. If you've listened to any of my other podcasts, where, you know, I started with hardcore when I was about 18, and some friends just strolled up with cassettes of Madball and Downset. So, you know, I still have an affinity for hardcore, but a lot of it I wouldn't say I grew out of. I just kind of gravitated towards other genres. I don't know if it's as you grow old, you know, your musical taste expands, or do they contract? I don't know. But in my case, my certainly have expanded. And the good thing is I haven't really left any genres behind. Even some of the genres that, you know, really didn't age well, like, you know, I've said before, I've had no problem with nu metal. Obviously there's a lot of it that's shit, a lot of it's that's cheesy and derivative, but that's the same in every genre. Some of them just got more radio play than others. You know, a lot of that genre didn't hold up well, but I still have some bangers that I'll pick out of that. I'll listen to a Nothing Face, you know, CD any day of the week. week. Some of the mud vein releases still will treat me right. So there's quite a few things that come out of there. And then, you got bands like I had mentioned Vane and Year of the Knife, and even a new one that I just discovered, Left Behind, that are dicking around with jam and nu metal and hardcore and making it work. Now I've seen another band being pushed pretty hard, and I don't like to talk negatively about bands because I have zero talent to play an instrument myself. But I've seen another band that's getting pushed pretty hard, maybe because of who's in the band, that is really just kind of playing some throwback nu metal, and it really just, I mean, from where I sit, it just looks, I mean, maybe there's a generation of people that don't remember, but the image was the worst part of nu metal, and it looks like they're carrying that part forward. I don't necessarily mind the influence in the music, and just, become a band like Vane, throw it in with hardcore, make it all magical, and you can stick just about anything in there. So anyway, Judiciary, Surface Noise is a banger. Look, it starts out with Social Crusade, and the riffs remind me of what I loved about, this is metallic hardcore. This is what reminds me about what I loved about bands like Archangel and Maroon. When Worlds Collide, actually a record I was just able to grab. So I got that in my collection, which is cool. Literally just last week, I believe it came in. So bands like Maroon and Archangel and Heaven Shall Burn. Heaven Shall Burn went in a much more of a melodic death metal path than the other two did. They stuck with their really heavy brand of metallic hardcore. So Judiciary's opening riff with Social Crusade, you hear it, you're like, yeah, all right, this has got everything I need. It's got the stomp, it's got the riffs, it's got the anger and the pissed off lyrics. So that's everything you need. A great sounding pressing as well. I think I got a sexy ass color on this. I know this is a yeah, it's a like a splatter type of color. I actually thought this might be something that's better served for having a video component, just to at least flash the record. But I mean, in all honesty, I guess what's the point of that too? It's like, hey, here's a picture of it, and might make it easier for you to to find it, but I'm also going to link out to it. So anyway, the I got two more left. The next one up is, this one's pretty cool. This one triggered a whole event. This was Dead to Fall. Everything I Touch Falls to Pieces. So if you don't know Dead to Fall was one of those bands that was combining metal and hardcore and doing it well, and really relying a lot on the metal part of it. There were parts of this that could have been if it was not on Victory Records and people didn't have that. That understanding that it's mostly a traditionally, at least at the time, a hardcore label more than anything, though they obviously branched out quite a bit. These gentlemen might have gotten some respect for being more of the metallic side than getting stuck and lumped in with the metalcore genre. And the metalcore genre started out fantastic. It got changed up a lot when you started adding clean vocals and mascara to it. And look, I've got nothing wrong with some of those bands. That just became the blueprint. And then, that blueprint that became, in many ways a little bit pop oriented, because a lot of those bands started to get crossover appeal. Bands like this that had no clean vocals and that were very heavy kind of got lumped into that same group. But anyway, this one, I mean, look, when you hear the Eternal Gates of Hell and you've got a breakdown that's carnage and you're going, I don't care where you are, that's going to make you bob your head. Maybe even do some type of an axe kick or something if you've got the space. But I've listened to this band for a long time, and talking about how tastes evolve, this is a band that my brother turned me on to right around the time that it came out. So that was right around 02, I guess. And I was like, ooh, that's a little bit too much, too metal for me. I was really just into the hardcore stuff, at that time for the most part. So this is really very metallic. It's really, really fast. It's just a very, very good release. So I got to see them. They opened up for Darkest Hour when they did their Undoing Ruin 10th year anniversary tour, and they played Undoing Ruin in full. Undoing Ruin. They played it in full. And Dead to Fall was one of the bands that had opened up for them. So my wife actually, my wife enjoyed them. She's not really particularly fond of the heavy music. We were dating at the time, so maybe she was just trying to hang out with me. So I dragged the poor soul to that show. I thoroughly enjoyed it, as did she. But Dead to Fall put on one hell of a show. I was glad because I had never gotten to see them, but I had also never gotten to see Darkest Hour, and I kind of thought that if I was going to see them, it would probably have to wait till like one of those larger festival type of tours where there's main stage and other stages and lots of bands, because I hadn't seen them come around here on their own in quite some time, and honestly, I hadn't looked for a while. I just didn't have the ability to go to shows. But anyway, I found that, and it was great. They played Undoing Ruin straight through it, and then added a couple of songs at the end, and it was a banger. Banger of a show. So Dead to Fall, Everything I Touch Falls to Pieces. I'm not sure how easy this one is to find anymore. I know records regularly go out of print through Victory, and then they regularly come back in print. So I've actually been looking for a copy of Villainy and Virtue. Reasonably priced, and I shouldn't say that. I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. I did find a couple, but it's honestly not that high up on my radar, because even though I do still listen to a lot of this stuff, I don't buy as much in these genres because it's generally not my go-to. But the last one we picked is actually a pleasant surprise, because I kind of had thought about putting these over in my to sell or to trade pile. It's Oathbreaker Maelstrom. So this is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I grabbed all U.S. bands, but I don't even know where the fuck Oathbreaker's from. Where is Oathbreaker from? Well, we'll have to find that out at some point. I feel like they're a European band, but number one, that doesn't narrow it down, and number two, that could be way off. But anyway, they've got some great videos on Oath. What is it? Audio Tree, by the way. Let's see. We're gonna look. We're gonna go live. Yeah, they're a Belgian band. All right, good. I thought for some reason, I was like, well, either they're from Europe or they're from Los Angeles, and I'm way off base. But anyway, this is one of those bands that I really kind of, I just checked out because there was a lot of buzz to them. So I think I got a couple of their records relatively sight unseen. And for whatever reason, I'll be honest with you, they never really, I liked them, but they never really resonated with me. It was never like, hey, let me go back and listen to that Oathbreaker record. But then, my kids picked this one out, and this was a little KB on this one. And I mean, this thing ripped. So I am going to actually keep this aside and spend a little bit of time with it, on its own, and just kind of give it a good listen and see whether there's something that I missed or if it just hits me differently this time. But there was, and part of the problem with records and my memory is that I never know song names, right? I throw the thing on the play. I don't study. I'm not reading. I'm not taking Instagram pictures, looking pensively at the back of an album album cover. Reading the track titles or anything like that. So I don't know which song it is, but I want to say maybe it's on the first side, and maybe it's The Fate Is Nigh. I don't know. But there was just a friggin' riff that opened up that song that just blew my mind. I was like, oh boy. And that was one of the moments where I kind of get the kids dancing. I was just like, oh, check this out. And I just jump up and I start doing a little, air guitar and head banging. And then they get up and start just going crazy. And usually that ends with them hitting each other or somehow. Because when kids get excited, one of the things they like to do is just get overexcited and push each other into the bushes. But it really is an enjoyable time. Especially when it first starts, they do. They're both up there looking at the turntable, watching it spin, and I just hope it it turns into a lifelong love of music. I don't have any delusions that they're going to follow my musical path. I'll certainly present it for them as I did. I have a 17-year-old. Who listens to nothing that I listen to. He's a hip hop guy, and he and I disagree on taste in music, but I feel pretty confident that I helped instill the importance of music upon him at a young age, and he does give me credit for that. And he, as he has said before, he listens to music doing just about everything he does, and so do I. As a parent, you say, hey, mission accomplished. You kind of give them the path and give them the foundation and let them choose their own. I don't need them to be a metalhead, though it would be nice. It would be nice. Sometimes it makes for more fun conversations when we're driving and we're listening to music the other doesn't like. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. I'd like to continue doing this because I think it's a unique approach. I mean, this is a little bit better than a random. I think there's a nice story behind it. You never know. Some other stuff may come out of these stories. Sometimes things go haywire. And I mean, last night, I think we were listening to a record and all of a sudden there was just a little poop on the floor and we don't know where the heck it came from. So actually, nope, nope. That's apologies. That was the other night. Last night was a little poop in underpants, and we know exactly where that came from. So potty training is always a blast. You never know what you're going to find. Certainly wasn't mine or my wife's. It was one of the kids, just to let you know what type of household we're running. All right, folks, I hope you all have a great day.